Welcome to Out There with TJ Ryan. It's strange. It's unusual. It's mysterious. It's out there, out there, out there, out there. And now your host, TJ Ryan.
Well, for some of you, maybe believing in reincarnation or living a past life is something that you're just starting to wake up to, or you still think, no, that's not possible. And then some of us, you know, I've kind of believed this for so long, and it just seemed like a natural thing to me. And a good friend of mine, Rosalind McGrath, was telling me about Ava Miller. And Ava is a good friend of Rosalind's, and she's been friends with her for 7 years. And Ava does past life healing, and she's with me today. How are you doing, Ava?
Well, and you?
Great. I'm doing fabulous. So where are you from? Where are you at right now, by the way?
I live in Marquette right now. I was born in Finland, lived in Canada much of my life, and am now here and love it here.
Do you like it in the winter so much there? Because I don't know if I'd like that.
Actually, I love the white of the winter.
I guess if you're born in Finland, this is like really nice compared to Finland, because don't they get a lot of snow too or something?
Yes, but I think it's a bit grayer there.
And it's a little colder maybe in Finland. Is that further north, right? That's not far. Some of it's pretty close to the Arctic Circle.
I don't know. Well, not all of Finland is
no,
up there.
I guess so.
I don't know that it's much colder, but this area certainly looks like Finland. And there are so many Finnish people here that you can speak Finnish to many people.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people that have the Finnish traditions, like the saunas. Do you still do saunas?
Yes, saunas, please.
Sauna.
That's
and,
all right.
And that really releases the toxins out of your body, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
So, how did you get started doing past life healing? How does one get started on that?
Actually, it was a byproduct of my meditation and yoga practice, which I'd had, and I've always been very intuitive and could see things that many people couldn't see, such as people who had died and wanted to leave a message for the person who's still here. And then it just evolved, and as I was deepening into my practice, I had this curious phenomenon happening that spontaneously I would see a person I was speaking with in a completely different way. A person, though, if I were speaking with a female dressed in traditional clothing now, that person might suddenly flash as a man dressed in some kind of other period clothing.
Mm.
And then I could hold that vision and then describe it to the person I was speaking with. And it turned out that if that vision came, then it was good to be able to talk about it because that person was open, or the person wouldn't have flashed it for me.
And you find that, I'm guessing, like, you know, because I've talked to many people about this, and I believe it myself, that we are sometimes holding on to things for another time.
Oh, very much.
And, I mean, especially if we had, like, a quick trauma or something, or even emotional thing happen.
Yes.
And that keeps us from moving forward, doesn't it?
Yes, that's often the case. And if people have unexplained pain or repeatedly injure themselves in the same area of the body, that's often a past life thing. So what happens when someone comes to see me is that I have the person relax on my massage table, fully closed, because I'm not doing a massage, and I'm not a massage therapist.
Mm-hmm.
And we call in our guides and do a protection so that whatever needs to come out is what's most relevant for now is what will come. And that's always what happens anyway. And then almost always the first thing I see is how the key emotional trauma of that life, whether it's the death or loss of a child is a big one.
Mm-hmm.
That comes through easily. And then we'll backtrack from that. And it's as though a movie turns on in my brain, in my forehead, and I just relate the movie that this person is showing me. So it's not something I do, but I can see it.
So
it's fascinating because And then I'm also directed to where to put my hands to have the person focus there. And most of the time somebody says afterwards, how did you know that spot? And I say, well, I didn't. It was your guides who showed me.
Mm. So does the person see anything while this is going on?
Sometimes. It depends on how sensitive the person is. I've had a few people, and I love it when this happens, who join in watching the movie.
Wow.
And so I'm a facilitator. I don't create anything.
Right.
But sometimes when someone can join in the movie, and then they'll start taking over and say, yeah, this is happening, and then it's as though we're watching the same movie, and that is just incredibly reinforcing.
Is it something that's, because I know there's probably many different ways to do it. I mean, I've heard people will regress somebody, and they will actually start speaking a different dialect or whatever, you know, from that time period. And
yeah.
Do you ever experience anything like that? Do you speak that way, or does the person that you're bringing back?
No.
Okay.
It's filtered. It's not given to me. It's not in a different language. It's given in a way that I can understand it.
Okay, so if they're experiencing this, let's say, for example, they lived in the 1600s and spoke British, you know. And,
right.
And so if they start picking up, would they start speaking in a British accent? You don't regress them that way, do you?
Oh, okay. No. What I do is, it's almost like picking up thoughts. And thoughts aren't based in language. They're in energy.
Do these people, is it powerfully emotional, or are they just like watching a movie? They're kind of detached?
Often people are emotionally involved.
Okay.
And I've had people who are just calm and deeply relaxed and almost go to sleep as a result, and others who start to cry quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. And then what do you notice with, does it take more than one session? Or once they uncover what it is from that lifetime, is it over?
That one item might be, but as long as we're alive, we are healing things.
Mm.
And there are often many other layers. But I tell people not to come back. If they want to come back, not for a month.
Okay.
And there are some people who have been on my table several times. And many people have been on there once. And they've had an answer to what it was, and they're gone, which is wonderful. And then some people could start doing it on their own. And I think that's the best.
Yeah, that is, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
If you can start remembering that. Because I've heard, you know, there used to be kind of the theory that regression was they kind of hypnotize you and they bring you back and they tell you remember, and then people would start recalling that. But this is a different process than I've ever heard of before.
Well, there are some other people. I met a woman from Chicago when I was in Bosnia in 2012 on a spiritual trip then. And that was wonderful. And she happens to do very similar things to what I do. And it was interesting because neither one of us had ever met anybody else who did it the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And her technique just evolved on her own. It wasn't anything she was taught. And since then, I've heard of someone on the Hay House radio who's claimed she was the only person who does this. And her technique is very similar, too. But, you know, I've been doing it for years. And so has this other woman in Chicago. We just don't advertise. And
right. And how long have you been doing this, Ava?
Probably since, 15 years at least.
How long have you been over here? You said you came over from Finland. How long have you lived in the States?
I've lived in the States since 2006. And I've lived in Canada before that. So I came with my parents as a child to Canada.
Okay. And how many siblings do you have? Is it a big family? Or
no, I have two sisters and a brother.
Now, how do they feel about you doing past life regression or healing?
Well, one of my sisters is a very born-again type Christian, and she's asked me not to pray for her because she's afraid that might send bad energy because I'm not a strict Christian. So, anyway, that's her path in life.
So not everybody accepts what you do, I'm guessing.
No. Oh, no.
How do your mom and dad feel about it?
Well, my mother actually had this kind of intuitive bent.
Mm-hmm.
Also. And my father thought yoga was, a way to the devil. So
really?
Yes.
Not anymore, though.
Well, no, he's been gone for many, many years.
Oh, he's crossed over. Okay.
Yes. And he's easier to talk to now.
I bet he is. I bet now you can say, Dad, who was right now, Dad? Dad, excuse me. You were right. I just forgot.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever help? This just popped in my head, and I trust the universe to give me these questions. Do you ever help somebody that's on the other side, or are they aware of everything at that point?
At different stages, when they're crossing over, sometimes people are confused, especially if they're heavily drugged or it's an extreme trauma. So sometimes I actually help people make the passing if they're in that kind of lost state. But people, once they've passed, they're fine. They can listen in and they hear people. So if a person out there listening to this program was concerned about, well, so-and-so died and I really, really miss him, I'd really love to talk to him. Just talk to him. Will hear.
They'll hear it, and sometimes maybe they'll communicate with you, especially like in a dreamlike state, right? They can connect with us that way.
Yeah, they'll hear, and they can connect. And as long as you're open to that.
That's the big part of it too, right?
Yeah.
So let me ask you this, because at our soul level, we kind of know everything that we've been through, right?
Yes.
The Hall of Records, the Akashic Records, everything's all there. We're well aware of that. So we don't really start getting wrapped up in all that till we come back down here, the emotional part of it. When we're outside of the body, do we have problems like we do when we're here? Do we need to remember our past lives is what I'm saying. When you're outside of the body, isn't there a higher self that goes, you know what, you already did that, it's not a big deal. It's physical, it's not a big deal.
Yes, we don't need to. You can do all this without thinking anything about ever hearing of past lives. And it's just an exercise of letting go and realizing, yes, there is a reason. I trust that I am here. I'm doing this for a reason. And then relaxing into that wondering of...
Can you also do, and this is another question I just thought of, present and future lives? Can you do anything like that?
Yes, that has happened a few times. Thank you for mentioning that. There was one woman who was contacted by her... In this life, she's a devout Catholic. And in this life, as a parallel reincarnation, she's a Catholic nun. And it was very interesting.
So you're saying in a multi-dimension, in another dimension, she's living a life as a Catholic, and then also at the same time, in the present, in another dimension, she's living it. That is really cool, as a Catholic nun. That is, I don't think I've ever heard anybody do that. Wow.
It's quite interesting. It's been a fascinating experience. No two experiences have been the same. And as far as future, there was one that I highly valued because I really needed to hear that message too, because it was at a point where I was feeling really discouraged about the state of the world and what we're doing to planet, to Mother Earth. And in this case, there was a woman on my table, and what was coming through was a man swimming along the ocean, and he was swimming along, big rocks, and he's a powerful swimmer. And this was a routine he did. He wasn't drowning or anything. He was just out for a swim. And he climbed up on rocks on this coastline, and it was a southern warm coastline. And he sat there, and I could feel him look directly at me and said, tell her that it's going to be okay, that mankind will survive. We will adjust. Hmm. And that, that we will evolve.
Because that person was concerned about that, I'm guessing.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Interesting. Yes. And so really, the future is not a set thing. I know that. But there are potentials, right? I mean, it's hard to understand that. There's potential things. And then there's also this string theory that they're all playing out at once.
Yes. And I like that theory best because someone's been listening to what's going on and perhaps experiencing it also on the table, then what I tell them to do afterwards or suggest because they don't have to do anything. They're alive. And is that to view these different lives and their actual existence as though it's a TV set with hundreds of channels, and in each of these channels is playing at this time, right now, a movie in which they are the star, the director, the producer, everything. They have every right to change what they do in that movie, but they're not allowed to change what other people do. However, as they change their own actions, then they go down a different road, and that perhaps, you know, that catastrophe doesn't happen because they weren't there.
Hmm.
So they rewind and rework. It's amazing the emotion that is released.
You literally can change, and I just heard about this, maybe it was with you when I was talking to you originally. You literally could change your past.
Yes.
And if you maybe got, let's say you're in a hot air balloon and it smashed the ground back in some day, you know, maybe you can change that. Or maybe you're trampled by a bunch of cattle or whatever the case may be.
Right.
Or maybe you did something horrible and you're carrying this guilt.
Yes. And that's one of the big ones, too.
Now, if you change, I'm sorry, Ava, if you change the past, it doesn't change the present. It just, it does change the present.
Yes. Because it's a domino effect. When you change something in one of these movies that's going on, it instantly reverberates through all the other lives. And it's not that actions in the other lives change, but the emotional impact lessens.
Hmm.
And that's critical to healing.
But you wouldn't be able to go back. Let's say you were a fairly famous person and you did something big in history. You wouldn't go back and be able to undo it. Would you? Let's say you would. Let's say you created the H-bomb and you dropped it on the Japanese.
Right.
And you were Oppenheimer and you said, you know what, I'm not going to, of course somebody else might make the invention, but you say, I'm not going to allow that to happen.
Yeah. And I don't know that you can change in this particular reality that we're in now, that you can change history.
Okay.
But, you know, maybe that your comment about maybe somebody else does it, I don't know.
Yeah, things will play out for a certain reason. Or maybe if you're a tyrant like Hitler, and you've taken all these lives, maybe you do some yoga and you chill out, you go back, you know, and you change that, and you're relaxed, and then the world would be totally different. And I don't know, this reality already exists, but maybe another reality would be created.
I think that's quite a likely possibility.
Oh, that's mind-boggling, Ava. That's mind-boggling. It's cool, though. It's really cool, though.
And another thing I find is that people often have come back in the similar in same groups, I guess, clusters. And between lives, you decide who's going to be the one who's instigating the lesson and who's going to be learning something and how best to do it. It's as though you're preparing the scenes before you go on the stage.
Everybody that comes in your life is a part of that. Or are some people drawn to you? I mean, do we plan it out with everybody, or are some things just drawn to us? Is it both?
Oh, both. But if you're drawn to something, there's a reason you're drawn to that.
So
there's something you need to learn.
Not everybody I meet on the street, I planned before I came here.
No, I don't.
But there are ones that...
I'd be exhausting.
I'm not that good of a planner. I don't think that would happen. But maybe the people that are really close and have a big impact, certainly mm-hmm. though. And do we also, because I've heard this before, Ava, and I want to get your take on it. Do we also plan when we're sleeping? Do we go into the astral plane and meet up with others here and rehearse and plan things that we want to do while we're here?
Yes. And quite often you're taught while you're asleep, too.
Also doing that.
Yeah.
No wonder I'm exhausted some days when I wake up, you know? Isn't that true? That's part of it. If you're tired when you wake up, they say, because you've been up doing things all night, you know?
And children are quite much, much more open to this kind of thing. Remember years ago, my stepson told me that after his grandfather died, that his grandfather had been teaching him at night and telling him things. And I thought that was wonderful that he was open to it.
That's really cool. And you believe this pretty much your whole life, Ava?
Yes, I've known that. I was born different, I guess. I'm more sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
And I've known there was more.
Now, do you know anything about your own previous time?
Oh, several.
Any that you want to just share, that, just for the fun of it?
Well, there are some I'm not so proud of. I've been everything from a mass murderer to next thing to a saint. And I think there's one of the first ones that really started to get my attention was when I'd have these recurring memories of walking down this very, very dry, arid hill. And it was against the ocean, and it reminds me of something like Portugal. And I was waiting for three ships to come in, three wooden sailing ships. And I owned those, so I was a merchant. And when I went, when I saw them come, I ran down to the dock, and there, I was murdered by one of them because they had planned this.
Thing.
And but also in that life, I could remember I was a man. I remember meeting my wife and the walking around the house and looking at it, and it was quite interesting.
Do you still have some of those people in your life today? Have some of those people recycled and are around you today in those different times?
Yes.
Okay.
Go ahead. Oh, my ex-husband was one. We practiced doing each other in, and in this life we were able to come to an end of this. You know, I'm, in this life I'm going to be your persecutor, and next life he's the persecutor, etc. And sometimes people do that, and I've met several people who have been in repeat occurrences like that until they finally said, look, this is enough. Let's come to terms and deal with it.
Now, why do we do all this? What is your take on all this, Eva? Why do we keep coming back and doing all this?
Until we learn it.
So we're here.
Until I was to a point where I could release myself from that, the bond that my ex and I had. He's basically a good man, but we had this thing going on that we needed to clear up.
He's not bad for an axe murderer. He's really not. Lizzie Borden wasn't that bad neither, you know. Were you Lizzie Borden at all? I was going to ask you if you were Lizzie Borden at all. Do you remember anything like where you might have had some fame or notoriety? Would we have known you in the past? Would we have heard of your name?
Yes. Yes, there was one case, but I really don't like...
I understand.
...talking about that.
I understand. I'm curious. I'm always curious. Now, is it possible...
By the way, of that person, when I was that person, I've actually been able to see a video of that person, and it is amazing watching who you were in another life, and I've been able to go to his house.
Wow.
And walk through it and then realize, wait a minute, there's something missing here, because his house is now a museum. And I said, no, somebody took this thing, and that. So it's really interesting.
Now, also I wanted to ask you, can you do anything like this over the phone?
Yes.
Would you want to do, I don't know how long this takes, or even if we just did it a few minutes, would you want to do something like that with me?
No, I don't. I don't, this is not an, because to me then it starts to make it sound like an entertainment process.
No, I'm not doing it for that reason. I just thought, because we don't have people that can call in, so I thought it might be interesting, but I don't know how long the process takes and what I need to do or whatever on my end. I've done that before, where people have kind of used me as a guinea pig, just to prove that, you know, people can see how the process works. But we don't have to go there. Let me ask you about if people want to get a hold of you, they just call you. That's probably the best way to do it?
Yes.
So if they come in, how long would this process last? I guess it could last quite a while, right?
No, it depends. Sometimes the point is made in 15 minutes, but then the person needs time to rewind that life, rework it a bit, and so I generally allow an hour.
Usually about an hour, if somebody could get that up. And that's just for this time around. Now, do you think there's kind of this, and most people I talk to that have an understanding of this will say some people will come back a lot more than others. Some people have been here many, 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 many more times, like older souls.
Yes.
Do you subscribe to that, that some maybe have not been here as many times?
I don't think it's the number of times, it's how much you've grown in each one.
Okay.
Some people, to me, it's very similar to going to school. Some people skip grades and, you know, graduate from high school at 14 and university at 18. And other people, you know, they're on the slow track.
Some of us get held back a little bit.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter. You're all on your own tracks.
It doesn't matter because time does not exist. So there, that's what I tell all the other kids when they tease me. You know what? I just got held back a few times. Time doesn't exist. I'm just enjoying this life several times over.
You know, and when you have very little left to learn, you're going to have the option of coming back or not.
Next time I'm coming back as a toad, and I'm going to pee all over you people. Can you do that? Can you come back as an animal? Or is that... I've asked this to about anybody I get on that talks about stuff like this. Can you be something other than human?
Yes. I've had people who have been whales and other large mammals, but it's never had anyone being a little fish or anything like that, but had
now,
people as a porpoise or a whale.
One man explained to me, he was a pet psychic, and he was a very good psychic. He said, I said, could I become back as a dog? And he said, really, it would be the other way around. He said, you know, the dog... animal experiences, and even Rosalind, when we channeled the energies of these beings, mm-hmm. she said, we are more complex. A human being has more complex. It's more restricted being an animal. So actually, this man down in Florida said, you might start out as an animal and work your way. Usually, you wouldn't go the other way back.
True, but then if you look at whales and porpoises,
mm-hmm.
they're highly evolved animals.
Highly evolved, right.
But I've never had anyone come as a guppy. Well, maybe that's what's going on. I don't think I've ever had...
You got your first guppy right now. You're talking to And I'll tell you what, that was a good swim I had. I think it's interesting because you know what? It just opens up to so many possibilities. And what you're doing, can we talk a little bit about your dog? I think that's my cousin. No. No, that's okay. She has a message for us, or he has a message.
Yes. There's someone making a delivery at the front door.
That's okay. I just roll with the flow on this show, Ava. So I was going to ask you, because you had talked about how people could do this for themselves, right?
Yes.
Is it a difficult process, or can you explain that?
It's a letting go. You can't force it.
Okay.
Like any other kind, you can't force meditation, you can't force seeing auras or any of that, but you can let it happen.
And how do you go about doing that?
First of all, realize that it's quite possible. And realize that what your experience, what is motivating you to even think about being able to do that, is valid. So you are in a situation where you're given this lesson. And yes, you are right, you can do something about it. And if you relax into it, and it is basically a form of meditation and we're in letting it go and being open to what comes. And I always recommend that people do a protection, like, you know, center themselves in white and golden light and call in their guides, because everyone has guides.
Everybody except a guppy. But go ahead, please.
I don't know. Maybe they're a guppy guides. I've never talked to one.
Sorry, go ahead. So then you call on your guides, and then what are you gonna, after a while when you're relaxed, are you gonna start seeing things?
Well, you can do a guided visualization, and there are several tapes you can, or CDs and that you can get that lead you down to sitting by the water, so they have you visualize being someplace where it's safe and quiet, and then having a path in front of you. And then walking down that path and coming in contact with an entity who is one of your guides or your other life or whatever, and someone who's going to teach you, tell you. And when you are quiet and will listen to that voice, and then quite often you get a lot of answers. And that's the one way I would recommend starting. And then always think. Sometimes people will will do that, and then nothing happens. They visualize going down this path, and they see this person, but they don't hear anything. But then later, something may come through if you just allow and be open to it.
Is this something that you have to practice and develop like a muscle? Because they say, you know, your psychic ability, your third eye, you really have to work on it and develop that as well?
I don't agree with that. I think you have to let it.
Just let it happen.
Yes.
So, as far as...
Well, I suppose when practicing letting it happen is practice.
But it's really not like psychic ability. People I've heard say this over and over and over. You kind of, it's like a muscle. You got to develop it. That's not how you see it.
I don't really see it that way, but it's an offshoot of meditation. I think anybody who meditates is going to become more aware and find it easier to let themselves go into that state.
Now, so, go ahead, I'm sorry.
So it is tied to practice, but it's not a, like I view exercising as a forced activity.
Right. So then I really don't, I don't really need barbells if I'm trying to be psychic or remember my past life. They don't seem to work every time. I'm not getting anything. Sorry, I'm a little silly. I don't know if Rosalind told you. I like to laugh a little bit.
Good.
And have a good time and make you hopefully feel at ease. Do you feel at ease today, Ava?
I do.
Good. So then will people actually see, like you say, the movies? Will they start to see some things like that? Could they see that? I guess so, right?
I don't know that. It depends on the person's particular abilities. Some people are more visual, some are more auditory, you know, some are tactile, some will feel what's going on. So I tend to be more visual. So that's where my strength is. So it depends on the individual.
I tend to feel things more. I think I'm real sensitive, and I feel. Sometimes I get a little images, but what really started for me remembering previous times was the feeling I got either through music I heard or a program I watched on TV. And I'll give you an example. I used to live back in the 80s. I lived down in Mississippi.
Right.
And I lived in Vicksburg, which, of course, is one of the biggest Civil War battles there ever was. And here I had no interest at all. I'm a typical young guy. I don't want to go. And there's a park there that's 7 miles long. And my buddy, who worked in the morning show, he said, well, come on, let's go tour the park. He always wanted me to go to the park. He just loved it. Now, at the time, I didn't realize he was definitely, you know, involved. It was a memory for him, you know, from a previous thing. And I think he was introducing me to that as well. And it wasn't until after that that I saw these... Danny Glover hosted a series of shows called the Civil War Chronicles or whatever. They were really cool shows about different individuals that lived in that time period. And when I saw that, it's like I knew I lived there during that time period. And I knew that I had fought in that war. And I really felt I didn't make it till the end of it. But I was okay with that.
Good.
And maybe it was down in that neck of the woods. Maybe that's why I was down there.
Probably.
You know, and at the time, I wasn't sure. Maybe I was I grew up, nothing against the South, but I always thought, boy, you guys hang on to that way too much, the war. You know, at first I moved down there, and they start calling me Yankee. Hey, Yankee. I'm thinking, the war's over. Hello. And then I realized they still, like any war place, even 100-some years later, they still had not healed, and there still were parts that were not repaired. And so I think if you live in the North your whole life, you don't realize that, or anywhere that's victorious.
Yeah.
And so by being there, I got to feel the empathy and understand it, why they still feel that way in a way. Nobody really, they didn't treat me horrible. They just kept calling me Yankee everywhere I went, which was kind of cool in a way. It was kind of cool. So that's one of my memories of a previous time. And I have previous time memories of being a Native American that really rings true in my soul. And I really know it's further back. It's in 1700s and stuff like that. and many times before that. So I just, to me, it was like music did it for me when I heard the native flute. People should listen for those things, right?
Yes.
And when I seen certain things on programs, educational, whatever, on TV or on movies, it just sang in my heart. So if something sings in your heart, I look at all these people, Ava, when Titanic, remember that came out?
Yes.
And people flocked to the theater to see that movie 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 times. And I always felt, Ava, and I wonder if you feel this way, were those people going to see it because it was such a great movie, or were they remembering that time period?
Oh, I think many of them were remembering, but I'm sure there were. It was also an excellent movie, but those who really got caught up with him probably were there.
Probably were there because, you know, I was thinking about this too.
Somebody on it, someone they cared about.
Or because back then, you know, let's face it, we didn't have the media we have now.
Right.
And so that is an event you can tie yourself to because everybody heard about it.
Right.
You know, some of the other things that maybe happened in that time period. But that was one of those big events. And you could go back and remember, just like maybe JFK and other things in this country, I don't know for you, but when certain things happen in our lives, we seem to know where we were and what we were doing.
Yes. Remember when JFK died, and the announcement came on the PA. I was a grade 9 student in high school, and I was talking with the teacher. It was, a sewing class or something like that, and she was wearing a black dress. I remember looking at her when that announcement came, and that is very stuck.
Hmm. Isn't that something?
And you mentioned going back to the Civil War site, and that reminded me of a life where I was, I died in a shipwreck off North Newfoundland in a place called Lanceau Meadows. And it's now a reconstructed Viking settlement site.
Hmm.
I went to take a look at it, and it was really fascinating because I could remember where it was that I was in that site.
Hmm.
Fascinating stuff.
It is. And some of us just kind of need to remember. Not all of it, I'm guessing, is going to be therapy. Some of it, can you also kind of control it where, because I've heard this from past life regression, people, sometimes they're afraid to go back and experience the horrible trauma. You know, I got chopped up in a rice-picking machine or whatever, a cotton baler or whatever, you know, back, because they had different technology, you know, not like now. But can you tell yourself and say, I don't want to feel any of that. I just want to see. But you almost really need to feel some of that, don't you, in order to let it go?
It varies. You don't have to have the intense emotion. But that's kind of agreement between the person on the table and their guides.
Mm-hmm. How far are you ready?
So you have to ask your guides to show you what is necessary. I mean, there is no need to go through horrible pain, and you've already gone through it once.
Sometimes, though, do you need to remember that pain a little bit in order to let it go? If you've got a pain in your leg and it won't go away, do you need to remember that pain a little bit? Maybe, I don't know if you have to feel it, but you need to remember it.
I don't think you need to remember what it was. I think one of the things you can do is just love it. Say, you know, I know this is here for a reason, and I'm sorry for anything that I did that caused it, and please heal.
You know, there's a story, I don't know if you ever heard of this man. He wrote a book called Life Between Life, and he was from Toronto. He was a psychologist. Do you know who I'm talking about?
I've read that book.
Yeah, me too, and I can't think of the guy's name, and I can't find
it.
But he went back, and he brought people back, and he actually did it by accident at first, and then people started remembering between lifetimes. And he was just trying to bring them back to the early childhood. But I think there was a story in there about a man who had this pain in his leg, and doctors looked at him, and they tried to do everything, and finally, under regression, he remembered in a war, he got his leg blown off. And when he remembered that, the pain was gone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty similar how it works, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, taking a look at it. I had a very interesting case. I never talk about people by name. And there was one woman who came to my table, and during that life, she was in an accident where both her feet were cut off, which was kind of really unusual. And then she told me later that for the 2 weeks before coming to see me, she had been just thinking about people having their feet cut off and how horrible it would be. And I thought that was interesting because her guides were starting to show her, prepare her for it. Now, so she was doing her own processing before actually consciously knowing about the life. She obviously subconsciously knew about it because she was processing it.
So is there a point in our life where we tell ourselves, because you wonder why you wouldn't do this every lifetime. Okay, I want to get past this stuff now. Do we tell ourselves, okay, guides, at this point, I want you to come to me, and we're going to try working some of this out? Or do you just kind of change your thinking and you go, okay, I think I'm going to try to figure what's going on here?
I think it's all the point of being ready to do it.
So when you're ready to do it.
Who knows how that happens? I don't know.
Am I asking too many questions, Ava?
No, I'm sorry. I don't have all the answers.
No, but I'm going to keep asking. What the heck? What does it hurt, right? What does it hurt to keep asking? Because you're the expert on this. I haven't done any past life regressions that I'm aware of. I'm sure I've remembered myself, but I haven't done it with anyone else. Can anybody do, you think, what you do, help others? If somebody could learn how to do it for themselves, could they? They could learn how to do that as well, right?
I would believe so.
Yeah, it's not like it's like, no, no, you're talking to the only one. Thank you.
Oh, no, not at all. I think everyone can do this.
Anybody can do anything, really?
Yes. I really believe it's an innate human ability. And some people do it subconsciously, and some people need to hear it consciously.
Mm-hmm. And remember those things and let it go. And really, don't you think so much of life, even in our present state, is about letting go?
Yes.
We're going to have to let go of the people we love. I mean, we'll see them again in spirit, but, you know, all the things that we hold dear to us.
Mm-hmm.
It's constantly teaching us that.
And I keep relearning that lesson.
Do you?
Yes.
Me too.
If you're alive here, you're in the human state, and that's part of the human state.
Yeah, it is. And it's like we are so attached to it, and then it's like we've forgotten who we really are.
Yes.
Is there something with the regression where you can take people back far enough where they can remember who their soul is?
I have not had that experience.
Okay.
I would love to.
Do you deal at all with the Akashic records at all? Akashic
records? No, I don't.
Okay.
I deal with what the guides want to show, have me tell the person on the table. So it's not a direct link to the Akashic records.
Okay.
It's what the guides want me to know about this.
Well, it's just another form. I got to believe there's so many different ways that we can go about, doing, whether it's channeling or, you know, it doesn't have to be an exact way. Everybody's going to have, and your way actually sounds pretty good. Because the ones I've read about before have been where they regress these people through hypnosis and the people are sitting there and they're remembering it and recounting it and they're speaking in the language. I'm sure you've heard of those as well.
Yes, I've actually experienced that. I wanted to see what that was like.
And yours sounds a little bit easier on somebody.
I much prefer my method because... I was uneasy with the other. It didn't work. It did work. I did see. But I wasn't comfortable with it.
Well, so, you're almost really reliving it. You're reliving it a lot in the other way. Now, I've never had that done to me. But I've just had the memories come to me over time.
Yeah.
And I found that's best.
I
found that it doesn't happen until I was ready in life, I guess, when I started to look within.
Mm-hmm.
And some people would say, I asked you earlier about, you know, have we been here more than some people, maybe more than others. Some would say that there's like soul levels, that we are, people have there been like many times have been here, our old souls. So not everybody comes here, you know, as many times. And so those people might be a little more confused.
Well, I don't know that it's the number of times. I think it's...
The quality.
Quality, yes. And most of the people who are on my table are healers.
Hmm.
And then they do their own healing and then they go on to help others even more.
Mm-hmm. So you're really opening the door for other people to do that.
I'm a facilitator.
Well, I tell you what, Ava, it's really, I love talking to you, and I really enjoyed the conversation. Is there anything else you want to tell me?
I just want people to listen to themselves and see what they're drawn to and go for that. And I think that's the secret of living and letting go.
Is life a big deal?
No.
Some people don't want to hear that, but yeah, I think that's absolutely 100% something I align with. 250-5169 is Ava Miller's number. If you want to contact her, and she will not only help you remember, but also show you how to remember as well. Right, Ava?
Yes, and anyone can do that. And the only people I want to call me are the ones who are really drawn to that.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone needs their own particular way.
Well, I appreciate you talking to me very much, Ava. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Enjoy.
Music on Out There, created by Kevin MacLeod.